Well, good morning this morning and welcome to the house of God. As we've been studying together here in the book of Joshua and the study of the place in the Bible, Gilgal, we're going to continue that study this morning. But before we do that, let's practice the verse that we've been singing the last couple weeks so that we're continuing to hide God's Word in our hearts. So if you would, if you need the help, it's in Psalm 25. 25th Psalm, the first two verses, we sing the first verse twice, and then we sing the second verse. And it goes like this, if you know it, help me. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Let's sing it again together. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Next week we'll try to learn a new one. That's how I hide God's Word in my heart, and I have to do it by song. That way I can sing it all week long. Turn with me in your Bibles to Judges chapter 2, and also find your place in the book of Joshua and chapter 9. Joshua 9 and Judges 2. I did say last week that we're going to move on from the book of Joshua, but the Lord saw fit to give us one more week here in the book of Joshua. As we're learning these lessons with the children of Israel and Joshua as they're encamped in Gilgal, we have seen some mighty things happen here. We have seen God teach us, as well as the children of Israel, how that they are needing to be prepared for the battles that they are getting ready to face. We have not even come to Jericho's walls yet. We have not even circled the walls one time. We are still encamped at Gilgal trying to learn these lessons. Now today, as we are going to move on from the battles, and many of the battles have already been fought, but they're still back at Gilgal. They always come back to Gilgal. That is a place where God speaks to them. That is where God has ordained some principles and they have reestablished some covenants. So we're going to come back there today one more time and then we'll move on from Joshua. But look with me in the book of Judges, and the second chapter, and we'll read a few verses here to set the stage. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 1, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land, and ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timotheus, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. Let's pray. I pray, dear Lord, this morning that you would help us as we study this portion of Scripture, that you would help us to understand it, allow the Holy Spirit to move upon us, and to speak to our hearts, dear Lord, speak through me this morning. Help me to be just a vessel in your hands, to get across the message of the Word of God that I cannot do without your help. I pray that you would help us this morning to truly understand what you're trying to teach us from this portion of Scripture and to be better for it for being here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have seen previous weeks, we have crossed the Jordan River on dry ground when it was in flood stage. We have built memorials of stone to God to remember what God has done for us and also for a remembrance to our generations to follow us. We have seen where the covenants have been kept that have been forsaken for so many years in the wilderness. We have seen the Passover feast kept and all the importance of the Passover feast. We have the tabernacle built here in Gilgal, and they're serving God and pleasing God. And last week we saw Joshua go out and to survey Jericho and to say, how are we going to battle this great city, one of the most fortified cities in Canaan? How are we going to do this? How many ladders are we going to need? How are we going to do this with so few of our army and such a great army inside the walls? And then he met the captain of the host. We saw that was Jesus Christ himself, a pre-incarnate Christ, come to meet Joshua and say, it's not your plan, it's my plan. And I have the plan and you just need to follow. And we saw that last week. So many years have passed. We've had the Battle of Jericho, and all they really did was march around the city 13 times and blew the trumpets and shouted, and God gave them the victory. We've had some defeats as well. We were sort of self-confident, and we said we can take Ai ourselves, and we went out to Ai and lost. And we ran with our tails between our legs back to Gilgal. And God, Joshua goes before God and says, why? What has happened? And he says, there's sin in the camp. Not just Achan's sin of taking the garments and the material goods from Jericho when they should not have taken them. He hid them in his tent. But also Joshua and all of Israel had also sinned because they did not go to the Lord and ask for his help. They thought pridefully they could do that. And there were some other victories and some other defeats, and they always come back to Gilgal. Many of those victories and defeats have already passed. They battled in the central of Canaan, and then they went to the northern portion and the southern portion. And here we're sort of wrapping things up when we come to Judges. And we've seen really Joshua, it's really in Joshua and Judges chapter 2 and verse 7 through 10, really just a recap of what happened in the latter part of the book of Joshua. But we have had a generation that has seen God's hand work. We have seen the mighty hand of God and the miracles of God. Now that generation is passing off the scene. And we have a new generation coming on. And what does it say about this new generation? In verse 10 it says, and also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And we're studying Gilgal here, so let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 2 of Judges. And it says, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal. Who is this angel of the Lord? Is it in the Old Testament, an angel of the Lord could be a prophet. It could be a messenger, a human messenger. But that's not who this angel of the Lord is. If we continue to read in chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim. And said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. No prophet made them leave Egypt. Moses was sort of the leader, but who made them leave Egypt? Only God. And it says again, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. Who swore unto their fathers, unto Abraham, that they would get this land? God. Also look, and it says, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Can any of us make a covenant, a promise to another individual and never break it? No. We break our promises every day. Only God can keep a promise and say that I'm going to keep this promise forever. This angel of the Lord, again, is the same one that Joshua met last week, the captain of the host, Jesus Christ himself. This is a pre-incarnate Christ. It's called a theophany. It is a Christ's appearance in the Old Testament before he had a physical body at the birth in the manger. This is no other than Jesus Christ. And it says, an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal. Why Gilgal? Why not just come from heaven? Why not come from Shiloh or from Jerusalem? Why Gilgal? It has significance to the children of Israel. This is where they met God. This is where God has performed the miracles. This is where they commune with God and restore their fellowship with God. This is where God has spoken to them and given them instruction. They don't have the completed Word of God before them. Okay, God says here in 1 Corinthians, we should do this. They don't have that. They don't have the New Testament at all. All they have are the books of Moses. And that is their instruction. Us, as Christians today, we have the full counsel of God. And it is given for our correction, for our instruction in righteousness, for our proof. Let me go read it because I'm going to misquote it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, not just me or pastor or someone teaching, but all mankind that is saved through grace in Christ, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Five works of the Holy Spirit, five works of the Word of God right here. It is given to us by inspiration of God, is profitable for us. It is for doctrine, it's for our proof, it's for our correction, it's for instruction in righteousness. We have the book. God has given us the book, and He says, this is how you are to live. The children of Israel didn't have that. They had to have messages from God. That's why they had prophets. That's why they had the priest. That's why they had the first five books of the Bible. That's why God came and spoke to them through the Old Testament. And He's saying, this is the direction. Cross the Red Sea. Lord, it's water there. Hold up the staff. Cross the Jordan River. Lord, it's raging. It's a flood water. Just take the Ark of the Covenant and let the brim of your foot touch the water. Direction, direction, direction. God gave them every step they needed to take. And we come here and an angel of the Lord comes from Gilgal because that's where God met with them. And He says, this is what you were to do, and why haven't you done it? What did He tell them they should do? Remember, this is Christ speaking to them. He says, ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land, and ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Go back to Judges chapter 1, and let's pick it up in verse... Read the whole chapter, but for sake of time, let's just pick it up in verse 21. Judges 1, 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. Go to verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns. Neither did the Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Aco. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh. He could keep on going. They did not obey God in the simplest task, drive out all the inhabitants of the land. They didn't obey God. What's so bad about keeping some of the inhabitants of the land? Well, that's what I want to look at this morning. Turn back to Joshua, and let's begin in chapter 9. And this is just going to be a quick review of some things going on here and seeing why God, Jesus Christ Himself, has come down from Gilgal and is instructing His people, you have not obeyed me. Why? Joshua chapter 9, just a quick overview of what's going on. We have a tribe, a nation inside of Canaan called the Gibeonites. And those Gibeonites come to the nation of Israel in the first part of Joshua chapter 9. And they are understanding that God is with these people. This nation of Israel, God is with them and they're giving them victories. They defeated Jericho. They've defeated Ai. There is no way that we can stand up against them. And the Gibeonites were very strong people. They were a very battle-ready people. Great in number. And they were scared. It's like, there's no way. We're not going to win. So we're going to do something drastic. We're going to cause a deception to come about. They're going to be subtle. They're going to be see how gullible Joshua and his little tribe are. And so we know the story. Possibly if you don't, go back and read Joshua 9 and see the first 20 verses or so here in Joshua 9. It's discussing what's going on. The Gibeonites say, we can't win this battle, so let's put on some old clothes, some old ratty clothes that are falling apart. Let's put in our satchels that we're going to put over our animals moldy bread, hard, crusty, moldy bread. And let's take our wine that we're going to carry and let's make it all just all sour and it looks old. And let's make our appearance look disheveled and that we've been on the road for so long. And they come up to Joshua and the children of Israel while they're camped in Gilgal. And they say, let's pick it up in verse 12. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now behold, it is dry and is moldy. But these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, there be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Joshua and the princes, the leaders of the tribe of Israel, here in verse 14, they took of their victuals, they look at the bread, they look at the wine, they look at their appearance, they look at their clothing, they look at their animals, they look tired. They asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And what does it say in verse 15? And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. They were not to make a league or a pact with any nation within the borders of Canaan. The Gibeonites didn't know that. They just didn't want to be defeated and destroyed. So they were deceptive in their task, and they went to Joshua, and Joshua looked at everything, and from a man's eye, he said, their story checks out. I'm going to buy it. All the leaders of the nation of Israel say, we buy it. Let's make a league with them. This is the step that starts the ball rolling the wrong way for the nation of Israel. Because now they have disobeyed God. And where are we at when this disobedience comes? Gilgal. And in the next few weeks, as we start wrapping up this study of the location of Gilgal, this is the place where it started going the wrong way. This is a holy place. This is a place where God has spoken to them. This is a place where they have seen God miraculously work, and Joshua has actually met Christ. This is where they got their instructions on how to defeat Jericho and how to defeat Ai, and they come back to Gilgal just to be renourished and refreshed. But this, in Joshua 9:14, is the key. Why things start going so wrong for the nation of Israel and why it's still going wrong today. They asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord and made a pact. And we go to chapter 10 and something happens again. We saw the deception of the Gibeonites and the decision of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 10, let's begin reading in chapter 10 and verse 1. And it came to pass, well, we got to help me here with these words. Whew, Lord help me. Yeah, there you go. Adoniah Zedek came, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, and as he had done to Jericho and her king, as he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Therefore Adoniah Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Param, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhiah, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come unto me and help me that we might smite Gibeon. Not Joshua, not the children of Israel, that we might smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel." And this is five Amorite kings. They've come together. They've put away their disputes among each other, their tribal disagreements, and they've come together and formed a pact together, these five Amorite kings. And they say, "Let's go take Gibeon out, because they made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel." Very next thing that happens, Gibeon calls to their new ally, "Joshua, come help us. We're under attack." And Joshua has to obey because he's made a pact with them. He must go to them and help them. And what a story unfolds in Joshua 10. But if you'd look at just some of the places in Joshua 10:6, "And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal." And Joshua 10:7, "And Joshua ascended from Gilgal." And Joshua 9, "Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went from Gilgal all night." It's over and over and over again. In verse 15, "And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp of Gilgal." Verse 43, "Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal." Gilgal is important. But why is it so important? Because that is where God met with their people. Where has God met with us? Is it important to us? Does God meet with us here? I believe He does. He's spoken to my heart here. Is this place important to you? Do you hold it in reverence? Do you hold it in awe? Do you share it with your community, your neighbors? You should come to my church and see what God is doing. This is a place where God meets with His people. It should be important to us. And this nation of Israel, Joshua chapter 10, what a chapter. This is where the sun stands still for a day. God holds, Joshua prays, says, "Lord, help us." And God holds the sun in place. I wish we had time to talk about that. It is a battle of all battles. Five armies have come together to face off against Joshua and the Gibeonites. And God holds the sun in place all day and all night so that there might be a sound defeat of these five kings, and they are soundly defeated. And the chapter ends with the five kings losing their head or being hung on a tree after they've hid in a cave. These five mighty armies. God delivers them. There's so much here. God is trying to teach us something about Gilgal. And as we've looked in the past weeks, we've looked at how Gilgal is a place of remembrance where God's people came together and they went unto death through the waters of the Jordan River. And then we saw Gilgal was a place of resurrection where they came up out of the water still alive and God was protecting them. We saw it was a place of renunciation where they cast off those carnal existence of the wilderness, cast them aside. We saw Gilgal was a place of restoration where they came together and celebrated the Passover feast with the Lord, restoring their fellowship. We saw Gilgal was a place of realization where they realized they were not the leaders. God was the leader, and it was by His will and by His plan they were taking this promised land. And last week we saw where Gilgal was a place of revelation where they met with the captain with the drawn sword, where He was the leader. And He is our leader. But today, Gilgal is a place that we need to be re-examined. We need to re-examine our lives. What is our priority in life? What is our walk like in this life? Are we trusting the Lord for our walk? Is He our captain? Or are we trying to be captain? Have we broken off our fellowship with God and not celebrating the things that He has asked us to celebrate? When you sat around the table this week and you thanked God for the food and for the year and for the blessings, was there something you were holding back? Was there something you were blaming God for? Were you resentful in any way about anything? Don't hold resentment or bitterness in your heart. That's sin. This is our Gilgal. If you haven't figured that out yet, this is our Gilgal.
where God meets with us is our Gilgal.
And as we're here today in God's house, we need to re-examine our lives. What is our priority? Is it business? Is it success? Is it money? Is it a hobby? Is it entertainment? Is it worldly pleasure? What is our priorities in life? Where does God fit in that priority list? He should be top. He should be number one. But unfortunately, in many Christians' lives today, He is not number one. And when He's not number one, we start making decisions based on our own prideful self, just as Joshua and his leaders did to the Gibeonites. And if we follow Joshua through the remainder of the book of Joshua, and we saw the defeats, and we saw the victories, and we saw how the inheritance of the land was given out, only one tribe did what God told them to do. One tribe. How many tribes were there in Israel? 12. One tribe obeyed God. It was the tribe that Caleb was a tribe of. There's your question to come back to me next week. What tribe was Caleb of? Only Caleb's tribe did what God asked them to do. They took the land. They took their inheritance. They drove out. They killed. They took the land. But it wasn't just to run the people out. It wasn't just to overrun the cities. Why were they told to take over the inhabitants of the land? It was to get rid of their idolatry and their false worship. Because God is a jealous God, and He wants to be the only God. He is the only God, but He wants to worship just for Him. And so when all these other 11 tribes fail and make pacts and make leagues with all these other tribes that are still in Canaan, they leave all the altars to false gods. They leave all the idols of false worship. And what happens to the nation of Israel as you get into the book of Judges? They do evil in the sight of the Lord. And God sends a judge, and they get right with God. When that judge goes off the scene, they do evil in the sight of the Lord. Over and over. It's a pattern. And then we get to the place where we want a king just like all the other nations. Well, we've defeated all the kings except the ones you kicked out. And what happens when we bring in a king? We know what happens in Saul's life. We'll actually be looking at that next week. God is a jealous God. What idols are we putting up in our lives that we have failed to kick out that God says to remove? We have the whole counsel of God. They did not have the whole counsel of God except they had God communing with them either through a prophet or a priest or through the first five books of the Bible that they had. Or through actually appearing to them and tell them this is the direction you are to go. We have the same thing. It's right here. It's completed. It's given to us. Are we reading it? Are we meditating on it? I tell you, these lessons don't come to me immediately. And I read these portions of Scripture and I read them and things stick out and I meditate on it. I chew on it all week long. Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? Because first He has to deal with me before I can share it with others. Do we have idols in our lives? Yes. How do I know that? Because God's not number one in our lives. If He was, this house would be filled. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We have guest speakers come in, and the pews are not filled. It is Christians, brothers and sisters, that aren't on the pews that are always on the pews, but we have a guest speaker come in, and they don't come. Why? Because God's not number one in our lives. I'm talking to myself too. We need to be in a place where God can speak to us so that we can re-examine our lives and say, what is our walk like? We might be saying we're a Christian, but what is our appearance saying? Are we making concessions to the devil? Because all it starts with is a small step. He doesn't come at you at a frontal assault and say, you need to start worshiping me. That's not His plan. He comes to you and says, what's compromise on just one thing? One thing. I won't go there because I don't want to offend anybody this morning. But He's going to come and He's going to talk to you about that one thing that He knows He can get you
And when you say, oh, it's not that bad, I'll make a concession, that's not so bad. Maybe nobody at the church needs to know about it, but it's not that bad. He's won. Because the next thing is, he's going to take it another step further. And it's going to go another step further. And another step further until he gets you to the place where you're like, how did I get here? It started with one step. Joshua's step was he asked not the counsel of the Lord. God, should we make a pact with these Gibeonites? No. That is not what I told you to do. I told you to not make a pact. He didn't ask God his opinion. He didn't ask God what he should do. He said, nope, I got this one, God. We're going to make a pact with them because their story checks out. Where are we making decisions in our lives for God? I don't need to ask you today, God, where I should go or what I should wear or what I should talk, who I should talk to. I'm okay. No, we're not. We had a dear preacher preach not too long ago about something similar to this when he said he prayed to God and asked what shoes he should wear in the day. To me, that sort of sounds silly, but now you start thinking about it. No, it's your testimony. That's what people see. Are they shine today? What tie should I wear today? Or what coat should I wear today? Or what should I teach from today? Or what should I pray to today? Or what should I be doing on the pew today when God is when God's man is preaching? I'm getting a little picky now. No, is He first in your life? If He's not, re-examine your life. Because what you're doing is you're taking a step away from God's will. And another step. And another step until you get all the way over out the door and you're like, how did I get out of church? It started with a little step. A little step. I could tell you Christians right now that are not in church today that I felt like were the greatest Christians in the world. It didn't start with going right out the door. It started with a small step. And none of us are above that. We could be out of church in 5 years from now or a year from now or 6 months from now and we're like, how did that happen? Because God was not first in your life. You have made some pact with the devil. And you're like, no, I don't do that. Well, if you made a concession, say, is it found in that word? But it's sort of a gray area, but I think it's okay. Well, then you're making a step away from God. You know what's right and wrong. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. Joshua did not have the Holy Spirit living within him. We do. We have God with us every day. And you know when you're doing wrong. And I know when I'm doing wrong. What do we do? Oh, it's okay. It's not that bad. Nobody will know. God knows. Your spouse probably knows. Your children might even know. Maybe your neighbors know. Maybe your coworkers know. If they don't know the first step, when you get to about the 10th step, they'll know. It's going to start showing. Re-examine our lives. Re-examine our priorities. And look where God is in our lives. If He's not first, put Him first. I had 13 pages of notes, and I don't think I touched on two sentences. God met with us today. This was not my plan. This was not my notes. God's purpose today was say, re-examine your lives, re-examine my life, and get right with me, because I want to use you. Don't you want to be used of God? I do. This life is short. Short. I thought when I was younger, my birthday would never get here. Never. My birthday's in December. And it was like, oh, my birthday's going to come, and then Christmas, and then, whoa, start the year all over, and I got to wait a whole nother year. I thought it'd take forever to get to my birthday. Now, it's like, it's my birthday again? Good grief. It's time to mow the yard again? I just mowed the yard. Those leaves don't stop falling from that tree. I know I just raked the yard. Time keeps on moving. Y'all all know that. But do we know it? Do we realize it? Jesus Christ could come back now. Are you ready to meet Him? Or are you going to have tears wiped from your eyes from things that you failed to do, that He put in your heart to do, that you kept setting aside, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it next month, or I'll do it when I get rid of this idol, or I'll do it when I get rid of this hobby, or I'll do it when I feel like I'm ready to do it. No, God says put it in your heart to do it, do it. If God has put into someone's heart, and I'm just pulling things out of the air, but if God's put in someone's heart to start a Spanish ministry in this church, how we desperately need that. But it must be put in your heart. And if God has put that in your heart, start it. If God has put in your heart whatever, start it for His glory. Not for your own glory, not for a pat on the back and look what you've done. No, do it because God said to do it. And don't take a step away and say, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll let somebody else do it. That's better yet. Re-examine where God is in your life. Is He up here? Or is He way down here somewhere and you're treading on Him? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Got to go to church today. Everybody's expecting to see me. Don't come for me. Don't come for Pastor. Come because you want to be here and you want to worship God. And you want God to speak to you as you come into the church door, as you pull out of your driveway, as you sit on that pew, say, God, speak to me today. I'm here to hear from you. If you don't, you're just occupying a space. I don't know where all that came from, but the Lord knows. Back to Judges chapter 2 and verse 2. Why have ye done this? Why have you done this? Why have you made a pact? Why have you made a league? You know there's consequences for every decision we make. God's never going to break His covenant with the nation of Israel. Never. But they're going to be punished and judged for their decisions. What happens to them? Verse 3, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. Uh-oh. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voice and wept. They realized they had made a mistake. Let's get right with God. They start sacrificing and they start asking God for forgiveness. We come to verse 11. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. It didn't last long, did it? This isn't about the children of Israel today. It's about God's children. He's asking you, why have you done this? Why have you put yourself in this place? Why must you ask for this forgiveness? I'll give you the forgiveness, but why must you ask for it? You have not made me your priority. And He's saying, come to me. Get right with me so that I might use you. There's consequences for every decision we make. And unfortunately, there's going to be tears in heaven because God says He's going to wipe all tears away. And I don't believe it's for our lost loved ones. I think it's because of things that we failed to do for Him that He put in our heart to do. I'm sorry, God. Think of the talents. The 10, the 5, the 1, or the 10, the 3, and the 1. And He says, and the 1, He gave one talent. And what did He do? He go and hid it in the field. And when the Lord came back to Him, He brought it back to Him. He says, here's your talent back. And He took it from Him. What is the talent God's given you? Are you using it for Him? What are the priorities in your life? Get them right with God. Obey Him. You won't be disappointed. Lord, we thank You so much for meeting with us. I pray, dear Lord, this lesson is exactly what You wanted. I pray, dear Lord, that You would speak to our hearts. Help us to re-examine our lives and to get right with You. For we thank You for all You do for us. Bless Pastor in the next service. Help him, dear Lord, to give us exactly what we need. Help us to be right with You. For it's in Christ's name.